Hey there, listeners. Tish from ShiningSelf.com. Today, I'm flying solo. The reason I decided to go solo today is I realized that we are now 15 episodes into the newly released Your Shining Self podcast. And while I've been having a ton of fun and hearing some amazing, heartwarming, heartfelt stories from other women, I realized that on almost every one of those episodes, I've talked about being an alcoholic, but I've never actually shared my story with you. So today, I hope it's okay that I am going to share my story of alcoholism and share a little bit about of, you know, where I was at to where I am today.
You are listening to the Your Shining Self podcast for women who need messages of hope, love, and transformation. And now, your host, Tish.
Hey there, listeners. If you'd like the show notes from today's episode, be sure to head on over to shiningself.com/16. Am I home? How did I get here? Where's my car? Did I drive? Shit, who's that guy in bed next to me? Those were the questions that I had the morning after my 37th birthday. And another night of drinking, and another night of blacking out, and another morning of being hungover, and another morning of yet again hating myself. Now, these weren't common, or this was not an uncommon thing that I would wake up in the mornings on the weekends and, you know, have these questions running through my head. But this particular morning, for whatever reason, this was what some people know as hitting rock bottom. So as this man laying in bed next to me lays there snoring away, he's totally oblivious to how I'm feeling, you know, what's going on with me. So not only am I hungover and having all these regrets about the night before and trying to remember what the hell happened and this and that, I'm laying there and I'm bawling my eyes out. As I'm crying, I just continued, you know, over and over in my head, just thinking these things. I was so miserable. I hated myself. I hated my life. There was family and friends that, while they didn't completely wash their hands of me and, you know, like completely cut me out of their lives, they'd had enough. I was pretty hard to handle at that point in my life. You know, all I cared about was the drinking and the getting drunk. And I heard a lot of people to, you know, focus on myself and my need for that drink. And it turned into, it just was literally a daily drinking habit. I couldn't get enough alcohol. I would wake up in the morning and I would be shaking and my hangover would be so bad that until I took another drink of alcohol, the shaking and just the, I don't even know how to put into words what it was. My body just craved that alcohol that I could not function until I had a drink in the morning, and it just carried on throughout the day. Now, a lot of people would have probably considered me a functioning alcoholic because I still could go through my day-to-day life and do normal things. Although I question that whole functioning alcoholic thing because, you know, as I mentioned, there was friends and family members that, you know, they were pretty much tired of putting up with my bullshit. My business, I own my own virtual assistant business. I've been running this since 2006. It was literally falling apart at my fingertips. I was losing clients left and right. It was a really low point in my life. And that, you know, that morning as this man is laying in bed next to me, and interestingly, I don't know that this even really matters to the story, but he was not a stranger. And that was something unusual for me because sadly, it usually was a stranger that was laying in bed next to me. But this particular morning, it happened to be somebody that I knew. I had went to school with his family. I actually had, you know, kind of dated his brother. So anyways, again, I don't know that that matters to any of the story, but I wanted to share that, you know, it wasn't a stranger this time. So anyways, you know, I'm laying there, I'm crying. I am you know, talking to myself and in my head, you know, all these things are just like, he needs to wake up. He needs to get out of my house. I don't want him here anymore. And then it just turned into this, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm miserable living life. I'm making those around me miserable. I'm functioning, but I'm not functioning. I'm not paying bills because, you know, money for bills is going towards drinking. Rent was getting later and later, and it was just like one thing after the other. And there was just so much going on in my life that I literally felt like the only way out was to end my life. Now, thankfully, and I don't say this to, you know, make it sound like I am trying to take away from how serious suicide and depression and things like that are, because I'm not. But thankfully for me personally, I have had suicidal thoughts a lot throughout my life, but I've always been afraid to actually carry out those thoughts. So while I've thought of, you know, slitting my wrist, I was never able to do it. While I thought about taking a bottle of pills, I was too scared. So when I say thankfully, it's because, you know, being afraid of all those things is what kept me alive all of these years. So anyways, he finally wakes up, I get him the hell out of my apartment, and I knew that I had two choices that day. I was either going to have to follow through with killing myself because I did not want to go on living the way that I was anymore, or I had to reach out somewhere in my community and find help. I started making some phone calls. People gave me some, you know, other people to call. And I finally was in touch with an outpatient, like alcohol detox, like facility type thing. So I set up an appointment. They had mentioned that I go into an AA meeting if I could find one, you know, so I took their advice and I did that. And I remember I'm sitting in my first AA meeting, and for the very first time in my life, as I'm listening to these women share their stories, it was just like this big, like, light bulb went off. Maybe light bulb's not the right word, but suddenly, for the first time, here I am surrounded by people that get me. They understood the not fitting in, the being miserable and not wanting to be here anymore, and how alcohol, you know, numbed the pain of things that had happened in the past. How alcohol, you know, made me feel like everything was okay because I wasn't dealing with anything that had went on or was going on. So, you know, here I am in this AA meeting, which some people, you know, would think is a bad thing. But on the other hand, I'm so relating to these women around me, and I'm bawling and I'm bawling and I'm bawling. And, you know, they asked if I wanted to share. So I did take a couple minutes to share. You know, I just poured my heart out and let them know what was going on. And, you know, one of the things, like the common messages that I heard that night after I shared was, you know, we will love you until you can love yourself. And I just thought that was like the weirdest thing to hear at an AA meeting, because here I went in thinking, oh my God, these guys are going to have like the magic pill that is going to suddenly make me want to sober up and life is going to be amazing. Yeah, well, that is not how it works. So anyways, you know, when I'm hearing these women tell me that, you know, they'll love me until I can love myself, I'm like, what the hell? I don't need other people to love me. You know, and I realized that I didn't love myself, but I thought that I had loved myself, if that makes any sense. So anyways, I finished that meeting and then found out that there was another meeting like 30 minutes after that meeting ended. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so staying for the second meeting. I need this. You know, this was so good. So I stay for that second meeting. And as I'm in that meeting, you know, women are texting me and I'm being invited to the bar. And, you know, so here I am in this AA meeting. I'm getting these text messages, trying to not pay attention to my phone because I'm listening to these other people. And this was a mixed meeting, so there was both men and women there. And I'm, you know, listening to them share their stories of, you know, what it used to be like when they were drinking and how their life is now as sober people. And then I have the text messages coming in, you know, inviting me to the bar, and I'm feeling like I'm being pulled into two different directions because, yes, I don't want to continue drinking and living my life the way I was, but that that craving, that pull towards that alcohol was so strong. And it's so weird, as I'm sharing this story, it's almost like I am sitting back in that meeting that night. Like, it's just, I feel the emotions and I feel how raw and angry and just everything that I felt that night. So needless to say, after that second meeting was over, I quickly ran home, changed clothes, and headed to the bar. So the next week after those two meetings, I am pretty much drunk every day in a big drunken stupor. Then I go on vacation with family to Florida, and I've never been one to swim in the ocean. They always have been. Worked out perfect for me because I could hang out up by the pool. There was a tiki bar there, so I was able to drink as they're down, you know, at the ocean having a good old time. And then something happens as we're driving back. So at that point, I was living in Michigan. We drove to Florida, so it's a long ass drive. So as we are driving back to Michigan, I'm having this like coming to Jesus meeting with myself. And I'm realizing that I am at a major fork in the road in my life. I knew that I could not continue to live the life that I was living because it was literally killing me. Or, you know, I decided to get the help and get serious when I got home so that I could start making some changes. So, you know, thankfully when I got back to Michigan, I got back in touch with the outpatient, I don't even know, remember what to call it really, but anyways, I got back in touch with them, went through some serious like alcohol withdrawals and detoxing, and it was a bitch. It was, I can't even explain to you what it is like to go through alcohol withdrawal. If you have never had to go through it, thank God that you haven't, because it is not pretty. It is very serious. Some people can even die from alcohol withdrawal. It was not good. It was rough. And it was also suggested that I get into therapy because I needed to start dealing with a lot of those things that I had suppressed and bottled inside of myself, which was causing me to use the alcohol because I didn't want to deal with those things or face those things. So I did that. I went through the detox. I went through I got into therapy. And then it was also recommended that I do 90 AA meetings in 90 days. Now, in a very small town like I was in, that was not easy because there was not a lot of meeting options to choose from. But I made it work. You know, I made myself do those 90 meetings in 90 days. It was 90 meetings in 90 days was hard. It was brutal, but it was also what I needed. During that time, I also started working with a sponsor. So I was, you know, in therapy, working with a sponsor, and things were going, I don't want to say well, because I mean, they were going well now that I was not drinking. But they weren't going the best because now I am literally like this onion that is peeling all these layers of, you know, past trauma and things that I had to deal with. So, you know, digging into those reasons that I had been using alcohol to numb myself was not easy. That brought up so many different emotions, and so many times, you know, as I'm working through that stuff, so many times I wanted to go back to drinking. I didn't. So, but there was also this crazy thing happening around the AA tables. For the first time in my life, people were loving me for who I really was, even though I was a hot freaking mess. I mean, hot mess is putting it mildly, you guys. I was a hot fucking mess. Excuse my language, but it was bad. But here these people are, they are so like being kind to me and reaching out and checking in with me daily to make sure that I'm doing okay. And if there was, you know, anything that they could help me with. And I'm just, I was so confused because all my life I had this people pleasing, almost, I don't even want to say, well, it kind of feels like I had a personality disorder because I was like a chameleon. I would literally change who I was according to the people that I was hanging around with. So if I was around one side of my family, I was one way with them. If I was around another side of family, I was another way with them. If I was around church family, I was this good little church girl who, you know, doesn't cuss, which, hello, I have a freaking sailor's mouth. Side note, I love Jesus though. You know, if I was around drinking friends prior to this time where I was, you know, now sober, I was completely different with them. And it was just, I mean, I was so many different people my whole freaking life that I didn't know who the hell I was. But yet these people are embracing me when I'm sitting at these tables and telling them all the shitty things that I've done that I could remember. You know, sharing with them the times that it makes me so emotional to still think about it. But, you know, I drove drunk so many times with my son in the car. I was in a drunk driving accident. Thank God I didn't hurt anybody but myself. I mean, oh my God, just the people that are family and friends that just love me so much, the shitty things that I have done to them, the people that I let down. You know, I'm just sharing all this stuff and these people are embracing me and loving on me. And, you know, during this time, I'm like, for the first time in my life, again, I'm realizing that, wow, somebody can really, you know all this nasty stuff about me and still accept me. So I'm going through so many different emotions and, you know, like I'm crying right now. I have friends today that joke that, you know, the first year in AA, all Tisha did was cry. And there may be a lot of truth to that because I shed a lot of tears. And I still shed a lot of tears. I am an emotional person and I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with that. But the other thing that was going on around those tables was I was listening to these people share the amazing lives that they were living. And yes, life happens. So, you know, they're still dealing with death in their, you know, families, job losses, bankruptcy, you know, things like that, divorces. But yet they're sharing and they're like joyful and they're free. So, you know, they're loving on me as I'm sharing, you know, my worst that's going on. And I'm listening to them, you know, talk about embracing the sober life and being able to deal with all these hard things that are going on in their lives without drinking alcohol. And I'm just like, I'm being pulled almost like a magnet more and more towards these people because suddenly I realized if they can do it, I can do it. If they can live a life and deal with life on life's terms and stay sober, I can do it. If I just, you know, take the suggestions of what my sponsor's telling me, pick up the things that I'm learning at the tables, I felt hopeful for, you know, one of the first times in my life. And it was just, I wanted what they had. I knew there was more to life. I don't even know how to explain it. I knew there was so much more out there for me. I just was stuck on how to get there. But these people were kind of like throwing a lifeline at me. I don't know how to explain it more than that. They really picked me up and helped me through some really hard times. And, you know, my journey today is I've been sober since March 3rd, 2014. I had been in the program for almost 2 years. I was 1 month and 6 days away from my 2 year anniversary, and I did have a relapse. You know, one of the things that I learned in AA was a relapse does not just happen. It starts in your head. And that is so true because that's exactly how my relapse happened. I had some, friends that were coming in from out of town. They wanted to meet at the bar. I didn't tell my sponsor that. I didn't tell any of the other women in my recovery circle. So I knew in my head I was going to the bar to meet them. I knew that I hadn't been going to regular meetings at this time. I wasn't working the steps. And if I was going to meetings or talking to my sponsor, it was putting a fake smile on my face and, you know, just basically saying what I thought everybody wanted to hear, that life was, you know, going good, things were going good, I was doing great. So long story short, I meet them at the bar. I end up, you know, obviously drinking. And, you know, my son was, oh my gosh, my son was checking in with me that entire night. He knew I was going to the bar. He didn't want me going to the bar. And I lied to him, you know, every text message, Mom, are you doing okay? Mom, are you drinking? I'm doing good. No, I'm not drinking. He ended up being at the house that I ended up after the bar closed that night. The next day after I, you know, woke up all hungover and had realized, you know, the only thing I cared about at that point, yes, I drank, but I was more worried about the fact that I had no idea what my son saw, what my son heard. So I was really like, I went to him and, you know, asking for his forgiveness. And I will never forget the words that came out of that kid's mouth. At that time, I believe he was 16 because I think he was driving. And he just said to me, Mom, you don't need my forgiveness. You need to forgive yourself. You need to call your sponsor and you need a meeting. And, you know, thank God for me, I was one of the lucky ones. I was only out one day. I was right back in a meeting and with my sponsor, you know, the very next day, because a lot of people that go back out are not lucky. They don't come back. They end up dying or, you know, they're out there drinking until they do die. So while I did relapse, you know, almost 2 years in, it ended up being the best thing for me. And I know that sounds really weird, but it was that relapse that made me realize, okay, yeah, I was doing the work, but I was kind of skating by. I was doing just enough to get by. And that relapse made me realize that if I was really serious about wanting to become the woman that I wanted to become and to be, you know, this amazing role model for other people around me, that I had to really buckle down and, you know, get to the bottom of all this inner shit that was just causing so much turmoil in my life. And I would like to say that after that relapse, everything was easy breezy and I suddenly began living this amazing, fabulous life. Again, that is not how it works. Alcohol addiction is a beast. It is cunning, baffling. It is, I mean, it's every day, it's literally right there around the corner just waiting for me. It's looking for the door to get back into my life. And, you know, I have not drank since that relapse. So in March, it will be March 2020, March 3rd, 2020 will be 6 years, knock on wood, God willing. And it just, it's really hard to put into words what the last 6 years have been like. I truly am, you know, when I'm telling you this right now, that I am living my most amazing life as a sober woman, I really mean it. I really am living this like amazing life. And to think about what it was like before, you know, when I was this hot mess and this alcoholic and wanting to take my life because I couldn't deal with life anymore, compared to where I'm at today, I am so freaking thankful for the morning of, you know, that 37th birthday, the day after that 37th birthday, for whatever reason, the stars aligning, God, whatever, I am so thankful that that morning started the journey to me realizing that I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I met so many amazing women who I still have so many of those women in my recovery circle. Although I'm not living in Michigan anymore and I'm out here on the Pacific or on the West Coast, I still am in contact with those women. And they are just, they're still a big part of my life. And they still, when something is going on, I still can reach out to them and, you know, ask them for their advice and just get them to, you know, support and encourage me and lift me up or, you know, tell me like it is, because sometimes I still need to have somebody call bullshit on me because I have an addictive personality. So I, you know, can come up with some pretty crazy, I don't even know how to say what I'm trying to say, but anyway, sometimes I just need somebody to call bullshit on me and they're not afraid to do that. And I'm thankful to the friends and family that have stuck by my side through all of this. You know, I burnt a lot of bridges and it took a really long time to build back up trust and, you know, to kind of mend a lot of those relationships that were kind of rocky and, you know, not good during the, you know, like the last several months or last year of my drinking. So it took a lot, and it's still to this day, yes, I've been sober almost 6 years. But to this day, there are still some days that are harder than others. There are, you know, still struggles that I have sometimes, but continuing to do inner growth and inner work on myself is, it just, it literally is that onion that is peeling back, you know, layers. And I'm just, I'm really thankful to be an alcoholic. And I'm sure that probably sounds really weird to hear somebody say that, but I have become this, you know, independent, empowered, strong woman. And I believe it's because of being an alcoholic that I am this independent, empowered, strong woman today who has found her voice and is not afraid to stand up and, you know, share her story and help inspire other women out there. Because without being an alcoholic, I would probably still be out there, you know, living the life that I was living before the daily drinking started. And it wasn't the best life. I wasn't, you know, back then I was just scraping by, doing what I could do to get by. And now I don't do that anymore. Like I'm so thankful for this whole journey. I'm so thankful for being an alcoholic, and I'm just so thankful for so many things. I know I rambled a lot, but I had so much to say. So thank you for letting me fly solo today. Thank you for listening to my story. And if you ever want to connect with me, ask questions about alcoholism or recovery, sober living, anything like that, just head on over to shiningself.com/contact. And you will find my contact information on there. I would love to, you know, connect with you and answer any questions that I can answer. So Thank you, listeners, so much. I appreciate you so much. Have a great day.
Hey there, listeners. If you'd like the show notes from today's episode, be sure to head on over to shiningself.com/16.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Your Shining Self podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, and share with others that need a message of hope, love, and transformation.